Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're turning through to the Gospel according to Luke, but before I read our passage, as always, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to turn to your Word, and we do pray that you would give us ears to hear. That, Lord, you would help us not to be like the adulterous generation which refuses to listen, but that our ears would be opened by your Holy Spirit, and that we might hear the voice of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 11, picking up at verse 29. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." Well, let me just remind you of where this comes out of. Back earlier in the piece, back in verse 15, we read these words. Some of them said he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. Jesus has responded to the charge of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebul. And yesterday we began to interact with the response about signs. And here he sort of cracks into it strongly. He all of a sudden, it feels at least, all of a sudden bursts out into this saying, the crowds are increasing, they're hearing the teaching, they're being amazed, they're hearing his words with their ears, and they are amazed, and so they gather more and more and more. Everyone likes a good show, and so they gather around Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, "This generation is an evil generation." Why? Because this generation is seeking for a sign. See, earlier they had directly asked. He said, "These people are gathering. Everyone's coming because they want a sign from me. They are wanting me to show who I am and prove who I am. They're not seeking me. They are seeking a sign from me. They want to show." But they probably all have different motives. They want to show. They want a testimony. They want an evidence. But what does Jesus say? He says, "No sign will be given except the sign of Jonah." Now, your brain may, if you've read the Gospels, may immediately jump to the death and resurrection of Jesus, because you'll remember in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew says and records that Jesus said that just like Jonah went in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so will the Son of Man. But it's interesting that Luke doesn't say that. And it's because he's pointing to something very similar, but subtly different. You see, what Luke is addressing here is the fact that people want a sign rather than the word of God from the mouth of Christ. These people came for an outward display, but Jesus, just like in verse 27 and 28, is calling them to respond to the words that he speaks. And so he doesn't say the sign will be that I will go three, or the Son of Man will go 3 days in the grave and then be raised up again, or the belly of the earth. But rather, he just says, like the sign of Jonah. So what is that sign? Well, it could just be a simple reference to that same reality of being in the fish, but I would imagine the people of Nineveh had no idea about being in the fish. How would they know? I mean, maybe he looked like it. He probably looked pretty trashed. Who knows? I think actually it's more alluding to Jonah as a prophet coming and speaking the word of God. Jonah was the sign of God to the people of Nineveh that there is a God in heaven who welcomes sinners, who receives those that respond to his word. And this is why, immediately after this, Jesus drives home his point. And he doesn't mention the 3 days and the three nights, though that's true. And though that is the ultimate sign of accreditation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says. Verse 31, the queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. Why? For she came from the ends of the earth to hear what? The wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. What's the point? Well, the queen of the south came from a very long way away because she longed to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Because she knew that Solomon was speaking truth. And that he had something that she could not obtain from anywhere else. And Jesus says, behold, something greater than Solomon is here. In other words, the wisdom of Solomon fails in comparison. It is completely faded and gray in comparison to the wisdom that I am speaking. Because I am speaking the very words of God. Remember, Jesus says that my will is to do the will of my Father, and I only speak that which I've seen. He is the Word incarnate. We have heard him. Here he is, speaking in your midst, Jesus says. And so, the Queen of Sheba will rise up, and she will judge you, O generation. Why? Because she came for something lowly, the wisdom of Solomon. But you have the very wisdom of God among you in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you refuse to listen. You refuse to hear. You refuse to receive. But then he gives another one. Verse 32, the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. It's the same point, right? Whereas before it was wisdom, now it's preaching. As Jonah came, I mean, think about what Jonah said. All Jonah did, we're told, was walk into the city and declare God's going to destroy Nineveh. That was all he said. And when the king heard, the king repented, the people repented, everyone repented and turned to God because they heard and believed by faith the word of God. And so those people will rise up and judge this generation. Why? Because Jonah, who we all know, butchered things horribly, is down on record as a pretty average prophet, for lack of a better word, you know what I mean. Jesus, the true prophet, rises up and preaches the word of God perfectly, with perfect phraseology, with perfect clarity, with perfect truth, with perfect motive. And not only did he preach the word, but he lived the word. He was the embodiment of the word and declared the word of truth. And what did the people do? They shut their ears and hardened their hearts. And so they would receive the just judgment and condemnation of their refusal to listen to Christ. And yet, are we any different? Isn't it striking how we look around the church globally, or you can think of your own country, or maybe your own denomination, I don't know, and how easily we can find that the word of Christ is heard but not listened to. And there is a difference. We can all probably remember our mothers saying to us, you are hearing, but you're not listening. What did she mean by that? The words are hitting your ears, but it's not impacting your heart. You're not doing what I'm saying. And so think about those words that Jesus says in verse 28, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. See, part of the problem in the church today, I am thoroughly convinced of this, part of the problem in the church today is not that we don't have enough of the word of God. It's not that we don't have enough preaching, though we'd love more. Though it's not that we haven't got enough resources, it's not that we don't have access. The problem is we are like the man in the book of James who looks into his face and immediately forgets what it looks like. We read the obvious things in the scriptures and then we refuse to do them. It's striking. Everywhere you look in the Old and New Testament is about hearing and obeying. Not in order to earn anything. We know that. Put all those contexts, put all those parameters around it. We're saved by faith alone. But none of that undermines the fact that we must hear and obey. We must hear and receive. We must take the word of Christ and bury it in our heart that the soil might bear forth fruit. Not that the seed might be stolen away. And so there's a question and a challenge here. Firstly, have you received the word of Christ by faith, received eternal life, and are you bearing fruit? But if you have received the word of Christ, are you bearing fruit? Are you searching the word of God, not just to read it, but to find how you ought to live your life, how you ought to live in obedience to your King, to your Lord, to your Savior? He's very clear. This struck me. I've been reading through Joshua recently. And you get the sin of Achan. And 36 people die over a cloak, 36 pieces of silver, and 50 shekels of gold. And 36 people die, and his whole family gets stoned and buried. It's striking. It's part of the covenantal community of God. But you know, Israel learns from this, because when the deception of the Gibeonites comes along, a couple of chapters later, you know what happens? They make the covenant mistakenly. It's fascinating. They make the covenant mistakenly, and they go out, and the people murmur against the leaders. Why? Because they want them to kill them. The people of Israel are like, go kill them. Like, they're bad guys. We're meant to kill them. And the leaders of Israel say, it's quite striking, the leaders of Israel refuse to do it because they say, we have made an oath to the Lord. We will not break faith with God. We will obey. We've made an oath, and the law requires us to keep it before God. Imagine the pressure they must have faced, that they sought to honor the word of God before the word and thoughts of men. And oh, how sorely we need that today. We must do the right thing according to Christ's word, receive the word of Christ and trust in him and follow him and embrace him and do what he says. And leave the results to God. And may God grant us to do so. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and we pray. Help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.